This podcast was first broadcast on Mix 92.6. Go to mix92.6.com to find more Environment Matters podcasts. And if you enjoy what we do, to find out how you can support the station, which is run entirely by volunteers. I hope you enjoy the podcast. Welcome to Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability and the environment from around Hertfordshire and from further afield. Now, Hertfordshire County Council has released a survey and it wants to know how kids in St Albans get to school and what's preventing them travelling to school in a more sustainable way. So why are they interested? What are they going to do with the information that we give them? And will anything actually change as a result? Let's find out from Councillor Paul Zukowski, County Cabinet Member for Environment, Transport and Growth at Hertfordshire County Council. And you remember that Councillor Zukowski joined me a couple of weeks ago to talk about lowering speed limits for traffic around the county. Councillor Zukowski, thank you so much for taking the time to join me on Environment Matters today. So why is Hertfordshire County Council particularly interested in how children get to school, rather than something like, for instance, how we get to work?
Well, thanks very much for inviting me on again, Amanda. Why are we interested in how children get to school? Huge number of journeys every day are children going to school and back again. And the approach that people take and approach that pupils take to getting to school and back can set precedents for their entire life. I regularly walked or got the bus to school when I was younger, and I developed a passion for walking, and I spend a lot of my leisure time walking. And I'm convinced that part of it was being able to walk to school when I was young, and it got into a habit. And if I don't walk a fair distance a day, I feel like there's something missing in my life. So I think what you do when in your school years is not just formative in educational terms, but it's formative in functional terms as well. And if we want our communities to be healthier, if we want our communities to be less impactful on the environment in terms of car usage and pollution, then we need to set the future on the right track. And that potentially means encouraging people to take better choices in terms of those journeys they do every day back and forth to school.
Okay. Now, it's obvious that the survey, you want to hear from parents and about, you know, their problems that they have in getting children to and from school in a more sustainable way. But do you want to hear from the children themselves? I suspect they might have different views about getting to and from school.
Absolutely. We're interested in everybody's opinion. Teachers as well, governors, you know, people who are impacted by home to school transport. We want to hear from everybody, because it all goes into that mix of understanding what our communities want from the transport system, from their county council, from the highways authority. So okay. We want to hear from everybody.
Well, that is good to hear. I imagine there's quite a lot of people who've got something to say on this. Now, you're asking not just about how children get to school, but what's stopping them from choosing to, say, walk or cycle or get the bus. And a lot of that might seem very obvious, like, you know, we don't cycle because we're frightened of the cars. What kind of information are you hoping to find in particular, things that might be new?
Well, I think understanding what the barriers are to people choosing more active ways to get to school is really, really important. Our highways engineers are able to structure things and design things to make our transport systems work better for people. But what we need to know is, what are the priority interventions? So asking people, is your fear of road traffic a particular barrier to you feeling happy for your children to walk or cycle to school? A lot of parents will say yes, but what we really need to understand, and I think one of the things that the survey tries to encourage people to do, is to say, is there something particular, you know, is there a particular road particular road crossing, a particular street, a particular area that is problematic from a, you know, feeling safe, that perhaps an intervention on that in that area could actually unlock people's willingness to let their kids walk and cycle to school.
So you won't just be looking at this on the level of St Albans as a city. You'll be actually narrowing down issues to a particular school or a particular area or even a particular road or crossing.
When you go into the survey, it asks you which school you're associated with. So we're able to break it down and say, you know, people who are going to this particular school are facing these issues, and there are multiple people who have got a barrier on road X. And actually that can start to help us understand how to make active travel more attractive for people. Okay. Undertaking those journeys.
Yeah. So one of the reasons that people or children often have to travel slightly longer journeys is that they've been allocated a school that's quite a long way away from where they live. Would you consider changing the way in which schools are allocated, I suppose particularly secondary schools, so that some of those journeys are shorter? Or don't you think that's in the remit here?
I'm not convinced that that is in the remit, and school allocation policy is a challenging and fraught area in the first place. One of the challenges that the county has is that very many schools are no longer grant maintained. Certainly secondary schools, their academies, and the levers that the county have to modify allocations are limited. And there are very strict criteria, and the number of places that are available are very tightly controlled because of the finances of schools. It's a very difficult area to have any material influence on from a travel perspective. So I think I'm unlikely to be able to help in that particular arena.
Okay. Well, I suppose then, how about school buses? I mean, in the US, there's about half of children get the school bus to school. We don't seem to have quite so many school buses in this, certainly within the county. Are more school buses a possibility, given that, you know, that would help with some of those longer journeys?
Again, it's quite a challenging one. And certainly, there are quite a few school buses, as you might describe them. Where I live in Hatfield has a bus service that runs during term times to Chancellor's School for exactly that reason. And I know there are many others, ones around the county that run, but those services are challenging because the bus services and bus companies are deregulated, and they're not within, again, the levers. It's a commercial decision. An awful lot of our children do go to school on the bus, but they go on scheduled normal bus services. And we can have some influence on those, but it's not straightforward control. So, yeah, I'd really like to be able to put on more bus services, but the financial situation we're in is not conducive to that. And it's challenging to find the finances to deliver those. But it's certainly something that I'm open to, you know, specific suggestions and approaches, particularly where, you know, a school is coming forward and saying, well, we a lot of our pupils are from X town, and we would really love to be able to put a bus service on. We can certainly help in those discussions to see whether that is actually something that can be delivered.
Now, I took a little look just to see, sort of generally speaking, throughout the country, how the proportion of children going by different forms of transport, the sort of differences there. And one of the figures that really stands out, there's Department for Transport figures, they are from 2021, so they're a little bit out of date, but actually they really don't change over the years, that just 3% of children aged 5 to 16 nationally, that's not just in Hertfordshire, usually cycle to school. But other studies show that a lot of children, like half of children in some surveys, they want to cycle to school. So there's a huge disparity between the number of children who want to cycle to school and the number that actually do cycle to school. And you would have thought, actually, that cycling is a great way for a lot of particularly secondary school children to get to school, because it's, you know, it's encouraging those good habits like you were talking about with walking. It's actually a bit quicker than if you're just walking. And I suppose also it is a stepping stone to cycling to other places as well. So it does look like there's a huge unmet demand to cycle to school. So I just wondered whether you were really up for trying to address that. It feels like that's a huge gap, and whether you would be really trying to help convert the desire to cycle into better numbers for children actually cycling.
Well, there's long been a project at the county funded from National Programme for Safer Routes to School. And I think one of the barriers to school children cycling to school is their parents' perception of safety and their own perception of safety, and potentially the risks that they do face in riding their bikes on the highway in the same space as cars. I'm very keen to try and reduce those barriers and give more people the option of a safer route to school. And I think that's the one thing that the County Council can do. And it's one thing that this council is, under our administration, is committed to try and do, is to give people more options when it comes to cycling, ones that don't involve shared road space with fast-moving cars. And, you know, I'm very keen to see those develop, particularly when it's facilitating routes to schools.
Okay. And you've spoken about money as far as it relates to things like bus services. I assume all this is also going to cost a lot of money. Is there funding available for that kind of infrastructure?
Absolutely is. And there's a grant fund called Active Travel England that will support schemes that look to promote active travel options, particularly around schools. And the County Council have been successful in previous years in getting money from that. There's no reason to expect us to not continue to be successful. And I'm very keen to try and push much of that support towards delivering active routes to school. It's the way to get more people in the future to walk and cycle for those shorter journeys, because too many of the journeys that are made in Hertfordshire today are short journeys in cars that could be done by walking or cycling. And those are absolutely things like, getting to school and back.
Yeah, indeed. I suppose the other problem is that parents are very short of time, aren't they? And so I just wondered if you had any help for schools. Things like walking buses or even cycling buses, you know, have been set up in local schools, but they do take a bit of effort or whatever. You know, if there was a demand for that, can you give more help in setting up initiatives like that in local schools?
Well, we absolutely can. And one of the things that was I find very, very frustrating is that the government a decade or so ago put a lot of money into schools developing travel plans. And many, many of those travel plans involved walking buses and cycling schemes and so on. And because the government didn't follow up that scheme to develop those plans with funds to keep those systems going and in place, many of them just fell into disuse. And it's really frustrating. Those plans are sitting on school shelves, gathering dust. I'm very keen to try and press as hard as I can for those schools to pull those plans off the shelf, dust them off, and put them back into place. And I'm doing what I can to try and encourage schools to do exactly that, because we definitely need to be doing it.
Okay. Well, it sounds like there's lots of useful things that we can be feeding into the process here by filling out this survey. Where do we find it, and when do you want us to fill it in by?
We've sent you a link that you can put on your site, but the link is letstalktransport.hertfordshire.gov.uk. School Journeys St Albans. You can find that if you do a search for Let's Talk Transport Hertfordshire, I believe.
Okay, and I think we've got until the end of the month to do that?
Yes, Friday, 31st of October.
Thank you very much indeed for coming and explaining that to us today.
No problem at all, Amanda. It's a delight to talk to you again.
I was talking there to Councillor Paul Zukowski, County Cabinet Member for Environment, Transport and Growth at Herts County Council. And as Councillor Zukowski said, I'll make sure that a link to the school transport around St Albans questionnaire goes into the notes that you'll find with the podcast of this show and that you'll find on the podcast page of mix926.com. Now, I'd like to hear about what you think. Are you one of those, I'd love to cycle more, but I just don't cycle much, people? And if so, what's holding you back? Is it sharing the roads with so many vehicles? Or is it that your bike's in the shed with a flat tyre and brakes that don't work? Or is it that you've not ridden for a while and that you just don't feel so confident? Well, do let me know. You can get in touch with me via email. I'm on amanda.yorworth@mix926.com or look for Environment Matters on Mix 92.6 on X and on Facebook. And remember that if you or your children would benefit from some basic cycle training, then local cycle hubs like that in Watford or Cottonmill in St Albans can help with regular cycle skills courses for people of all ages. Or if you're a woman who just like to build cycling confidence in the company of other women, then you might like to try 5 Miles to Fabulous. It's run by South Herts CTC. They take short cycle trips through the Hertfordshire countryside, often to somewhere for a cuppa and a chat. And they're a lovely supportive bunch who welcome new members. Or if that bike of yours needs some care and attention, there are, of course, local independent cycle shops around Hertfordshire who do provide great repair services at a fraction of the cost you'd be charged to fix your car. But if you'd like to learn a bit more about how to do the basic fixes to your bike yourself, then there are a growing number of repair fairs and repair cafes around the county at which you can find skillful people who will help you to do those basic fixes if you take the parts along. Now, Hertfordshire County Council have a list of repair cafes on their website so that you can find the one local to you. Again, I'll put the link for that and also for other useful ways to get you on two wheels into the notes that go with the podcast of this show and that you'll find on the podcast page of mix926.com. I'll be with you at the same time next week, but until then, thank you for listening.